Award-winning talk radio across the UK on 1053 and 1089 AM. KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
Tell all of your friend I'm over here now. And now for something completely else.
There is a good fairy after all.
Really? What's his name? A bigger bunch of freaks I've never heard on any show ever. Here it comes, Mark from Cardiff singing whatever it was he just said he was going to sing.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah, too long. Knock, knock, who's there?
I don't know.
I don't know who.
I don't know who would need Viagra.
That joke sucks.
You're the best thing on this station.
At this time? Yes, you're right, I'm the only thing on this station at this time.
Nick Abbott.
Oh, I'm a good girl, I am.
Mm.
0500 1053 89. It's a free call. And we almost had a major problem with our Canadian import here. Because he practically missed the last show. And the only excuse for missing the last show would be that you were dead.
Well, I don't know what you mean. I'm here. I'm ready to go. Compass mentis. With it. Alert.
You are compass mentis?
Yeah, whatever that means.
You are compass mentis. Oh. yeah, where the hell were you? What time are you supposed to show up for work, damn it?
Well, that's actually nothing we ever firmly established, was it? So, by seven was really all I was ever told.
Really? Unbelievable. So you slept in?
I did.
Incredible.
Yeah.
How does a person go about sleeping in till six at night?
By going to bed at 9 a.m.
You do?
Yeah.
9 a.m.
Well, by the time we finished Ian's show,
yeah,
Bill's show at 6. Do all the PRS and all the producer stuff I have to do.
The PRS?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's, you know, paying the good folk who write the music for these quality shows.
Oh, and you're like, you're sitting in there writing it all down? Write that down.
Yeah, here we go. First. All right.
Write that down.
They don't need any more money.
They don't?
No.
No, you're probably right.
And so by the time I finish all
that... Well, they've all got babies on the way, and goodness knows, them babies do suck the money away from their parents.
They'll probably sign up, though, for some mother's bank. They're all single mothers, yes, aren't they?
I guess they... no, they're not single mothers. Aren't they getting married? Her and David Beckham.
In time, within the next 8 months?
Well, did they say they were going to have the baby and then get married?
Yeah, I think they wanted
being sort of new and like Essex-like.
Yeah.
That's what everybody does in Essex. Did you know that? Not a lot of people do know that. We'll be having a report on that later on by...
Alastair Wanklin.
From Washington. And Colonel Gaddafi will stick his oar in and undoubtedly will say something like...
Dialogue and negotiation must be...
0500 1053 89. It's silly already.
It is.
That's the funny, not funny at all, that's the bizarre thing about this program is it follows one of the most aggressive and combatant men on the radio, Peter Deely, who is serious to a fault, and knows his stuff, and all that business, and then I come on and...
Dialogue and negotiation must be...
like that.
Yeah.
Weird.
Variety, we like to say.
So everybody that listens to him must tune off, because you think the people who listen to Peter Deely will be interested in... Because I can't see it myself. Here's one in Linlithgow. Hello.
Hi, Nick.
How you going?
I've got news of two comedy inventions for you.
Okay.
The first one you might have heard of already, it's a mobile phone jammer.
No.
Apparently it's the new big thing in Japan. They used to have Tamagotchis. They've got these mobile phone jammers.
What?
Well, it's got a range of about 40 feet.
Yeah.
And every mobile phone within that 40 feet doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yep, so apart from the cinemas and such are buying them, obviously. Because they don't want their big films that aren't interrupted by ringing mobile phones.
And you have one of these things?
No, I don't. I just read about it.
And how big are they?
I think they're about the size of a cigarette lighter.
The size of a cigarette lighter?
I think so.
Not even a cigarette packet?
It was one of the two, but they're very, very small. You can sort of keep them in your pocket.
How much are they?
They're quite cheap, I think. I got this off the internet, like many things, but they're fairly cheap.
How much?
I think it was less than about £50.
Well, I want one. I do, because you go into a restaurant and it's just the worst thing in the world. Some braying hooray on the next table is shouting about stock market prices, and you're busy trying to enjoy your entree. It's not what you want at all. Furthermore, it used to be that you go and watch a film and some plank in the cinema will have a digital watch, or rather many of them will. And of course, digital watches are accurate to within a hundredth of a second a month or some rubbish like that, but the people who set them aren't. And so they're always like about 5 minutes fast or slow, but precisely accurate to whatever wrong time they were originally set at, making the entire thing pointless. You know, it can give you a lap time to within a hundredth of a second, but the person who's pressing the stop is only reacting to within, you know, a half a second. So, like, what's the point? It's ludicrous. You might as well sit there and count 1 1,000, 2 1,000, because it's going to be as accurate. And they'll all have their... And Kev, who normally runs the desk here and is back tomorrow, maybe we should probe him about this. He said, because I believe I've probed him about this before.
God, I didn't have an anal probe!
And I couldn't figure out why it was that he had a watch that beeped every hour. Because you would think that that would be the most annoying thing in the world. There's another hour you'll never get back. You know, why? I don't understand. But many people do. Perhaps it's that they buy the watch and it's already set to go off every hour, as an exciting feature.
I don't think you can change them now.
And they don't know how to, you know, they lost the instruction manual and don't know how to change it back so that it doesn't. But it's a chorus of birds, like a bird mating call. On the hour, when you are going to see a movie, the bloke with a digital watch next to you will go off first, and then there'll be one right down the front, and then up the back, and in this circle. But now, of course, there's the phones as well. And everybody kind of like, you know, the phones are in their bag, and they kind of, well, nobody will call. So they don't bother switching it off, because you have to go through all the hassle of putting your code in twice or whatever it is. So they just leave them on. And that's the very time when everybody wants to talk to them. So that would be an excellent invention, and everybody should have one. Thanks for letting us know, mate.
I've got another one.
And another thing?
Yep. It's, I think it's the latest thing for getting rid of cockroaches, if your apartment's a dump.
You can't get rid of cockroaches, impossible.
You put this thing in the middle of the floor, and you remove yourself and all small animals and children from the vicinity. Then you switch it on, and it works like a microwave. It sends out microwave energy, which heats the cockroaches so fast, wherever they are, like inside the walls or under the floor or whatever, that they explode.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I'm stunned. That's fantastic.
Yep.
I want one.
You can get one from me too, then.
Would it also explode your pet if you left it around?
Well, I think the things like cats and dogs would be a bit too big, but any, like, pet hamsters would probably cook or whatever.
Of course, that's not a topic for levity, and I'm not laughing at the thought of an exploding hamster, but you know. Okay, thanks for the news. It was Raymond Burr from Tomorrow's World. You remember Raymond Burr, don't you?
Raymond Burr was on Tomorrow's World?
Yeah, well, he was the old mellifluously toned, fruity-voiced old bloke who always was telling his crap about stuff that some bloke had invented in Taiwan that will never appear on your shelves.
Raymond Burr was Ironside.
Oh, it was Raymond Baxter who was Tomorrow's World. Yeah.
No, he was Doctor Who.
Raymond Baxter?
Yeah.
Oh, and lovely soups, by the way. Here's one in London. Hello.
Hello, Nick.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. How are you?
Good. That's the pleasantries out of the way. Now, what do you want?
Well, I'd like to take part in the game, but I suppose have a chat first. How's your day been?
And my day's been going swimmingly so far.
Swimmingly? Jolly good. Is that Moz D?
You're a loser, baby, so why don't we dump you? Here's one in Burton-on-Trent. It's Aid Who Can't Get Laid.
Hello, Nick.
Aid.
Yeah, you're talking about programs and that. You know they're going to revamp the lottery show yet again.
Oh, blimey, who's going to be on that then? It's not going to be Vanessa's Fat, is it?
No, it's going to be... it's going to be the ginger girl off EastEnders.
Who?
Oh, fuck. Don't let me tell you, because I ain't got a clue. It's just some just ginger thin toffee standards or something.
You really have a way with women, don't you, there, right? Ginger bent off EastEnders, he said. Unbelievable. No wonder you're so popular with the opposite sex.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to, like, rerun the old sort of That's Life thing, because they're going to have tap-dancing dogs on, apparently. And that seems to be, that's what they was doing about 20, 30 years ago, isn't it?
It's not tap-dancing dogs. It's the thing that they get to explode cockroaches. You just put it on the floor, it superheats the floor so fast that it looks like your dog is tap-dancing. It's actually, in such pain that it can't emit any sound, but inside its mind is screaming.
Yeah, that woman that found you the other day that's supposed to be a talk show host.
It's going. Yes, I remember the woman who called me up. She was a talk show host on UK Living, or whatever it's called.
I think she's been codding you, Nick. Have you looked at the schedules for UK Living recently?
No.
Well, I've looked like the past few weeks, and she said about 6 o'clock she was on. The only thing I could find to do with talk show hosts is about 3 o'clock there's something called Rhonda on, and 6:10 is Jerry Springer.
Maybe she's been cancelled.
Yeah, well, I thought of that, because, I've, let some of my magazines get, snowing under my bedroom. I've gone back to about May, and there's nothing.
What kind of magazines do you have from back till May?
TV magazines, already, if we can't, Playboy.
TV magazines, yes. A lot of transvestite magazines under your bed, yeah, I can imagine. That's flummoxed, isn't it? 0500 1053 89.
Sorry, that said like you said something else.
Flummoxed. time to say goodbye, Aid.
Goodbye, Aid.
0500 1053 89. It's always a complete pain talking to you, mate.
Scott Chisholm on Talk Radio.
The war is all but over. Omar has to be the last violent incident in our country, so says Gerry Adams. In the wake of that historic statement and the new anti-terrorist laws, on the day the President of the United States visits, Talk Radio comes to you from Omar, County Tyrone, in the first of two special programs. Talk Radio in Northern Ireland, from the town that paid the ultimate price for peace.
Scott Chisholm, tomorrow from 9 on Talk Radio. There's a good argument for listening.
Backache, rheumatic, and common arthritic conditions. This is the sensational new sound of pain relief without pills. I Believe Mousse. It's so simple to apply and disappears rapidly into the skin. And I Believe Mousse is outstanding value. More than four times the size of the regular gel pack, with up to 125 applications in every can. Ask your pharmacist for new I Believe Mousse. I Believe Mousse contains ibuprofen. Always read the label.
For expert advice on mobile phones, talk direct to Vodafone at your local Vodafone shop. For your nearest shop, call 0800 10 11 12.
Giving you more of what you want. Talk Radio. Your views and the news you need. 1053 and 1089 AM. Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
Free call 0500 1053 89.
So there's a lot of stuff about how dangerous it is to fly now, and I was thinking of going to Sydney, Australia for the year 2000 New Year's Eve thing, because I thought, where on earth would you like to be?
Right.
Come that New Year thing, because that's, it's always the thing with New Year is there's always this intense pressure for it to be the best year, the best day of the year. And yeah, it virtually never is, because, there's just so much hassle involved. You need to go to somewhere where you can walk back, because you can't drink and drive, you can't get a cab, and, so on and so exactly. forth. And so your options are limited. Don't go to a club, because it's a colossal nightmare. They charge you 10 times the price, and put 5 times as many people as can actually fit in the club. And it's just a horror story. And so, and what do you do? You may end up going, have a little party and go to that, and it's fine, it's okay. Very rarely is the best night of the year. Those things sort of just happen, right? You can't plan for them, they just occur. But the year 2000, New Year, I mean, people are already planning for that. That'll have to be the best year of the best day of their lives. So where would you like to be? Where would you like to be?
If I had the money, what I'd do, I would be, you know where that international Dateline is? In,
Oh, you're going to sit at home calling Dateline?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
No, no.
Oh,
no,
yeah. 8, 9, 8.
In the middle of the Pacific.
Hey, it's free advertising. No, I get it. I would be on some big yacht, or the island, I think it's Tonga or something like that. The island is the farthest to the east. I would start there.
There was a great movie of the Japanese part of the Second World War called Tonga, Tonga, Tonga. You remember that?
That was a great one.
Great.
There was also a wrestler called Tonga, Tonga, Tonga. He was great as well, but that's another matter. And so I'd start there, and I'd be on this big boat, and I would start, and I would just have, I would just slowly make my way east as
make the world,
like by an hour. So I would have New Year's like 24 hours. Or 24 times within a day. It's like every time the Dateline changed and it became midnight at different places of the world.
Oh, we seem to have run out of time on that answer.
But think about it, that'd be great.
Are you still talking? Grief. I know you've only just woken up and you're trying to catch up for all the talking that you would have done during the hours that you were asleep, but please do it off the air. Good. Grief.
And another thing.
How about you, sick boy? Where would you prefer to be?
Me? I just want to go to bed, actually, because like you said, there's such a pressure. I just want to get in my bed, pull my duvet over, and wait till it's all finished.
You don't, though.
It's just too much pressure, because wherever you go, people will be saying, you should be somewhere else doing this. And
there's always going to be the pressure to be somewhere else. Yeah,
that's the thing, and you just think you're missing out on a better time somewhere else. So if you don't do anything, you just stay in bed, then you're not doing anything at all, so it's fine.
Then you can be certain that you should be having more fun elsewhere. Yeah. You could sit at home and watch the TV. It'll probably be a hootenanny or whatever they call it. Yeah. Some dweeb in a tartan skirt going, hey.
Kevin.
Yeah, probably Kev, that's right. I tell you what, I'm not doing a show. Please don't make me do a show. But I thought Sydney, Australia would be the best place on the face of the planet to see in the new millennium. Because, first of all, it's a great... And I've never been there, but I'm just assuming that it's a great party place, right? And second, they do New Year's. Great, because they've got all the fireworks coming off the bridge and all the little boats sit in Sydney Harbour, and the harbour goes all the way around. And it's a beach, is it not? Life's a beach in Sydney, Australia. And so you could be there, you could be at the little peninsula that's got the opera thing on, and there's just never-ending possibilities. But most important, it's going to be warm.
That's true, it'd be summer there at the time.
Of course.
Yeah.
T-shirts and shorts. Here, it'll be a nightmare, as it always is around about then, it'll be freezing cold. Mm. But the thing is, I don't want to fly around that time. Because that is the time that all the little chips switch off.
Yeah.
And they won't all switch off at the time. Because I was talking to somebody about this before, and I hadn't really thought about this. You know, the chips they're not all going to switch off, boom, at midnight. They'll be switching off sort of 2 weeks before, and a year or two after.
Why?
Because they're not on all the time. They're switched off and on. And so they have a life... But it's extended by them being switched off, see?
But I thought the problem was with the actual day, and even when it's off, it's keeping time. So if you switched it on, it would say 7:21 and 59 seconds on September 2nd, right? Regardless. I thought that was the problem, and then when it becomes midnight on the 1st of January 2000, that's when it all goes...
Yeah, but... It was... No, apparently not.
Okay. I feel much better now.
Yes. No, it's much worse than you previously expected because, a lot of chips, they're not in constant use all the time. So they get switched off and switched on and switched off and switched on. So their year clickover thing to 2000
right.
might not necessarily happen when we see it. It might happen a year later. Oh, or, an hour later, or 2 weeks before, or, things will be falling over for a long time, from starting now, and for a long time afterwards.
Oh, great.
Yeah, exactly. So, basically, we're screwed.
And I don't want to be up in the sky, because they're never going to fix them all. Yeah, but they might say, you know, but for instance, this organization here, they might say, well, we've been in the desk here, we've been in the computers, we've been in the coffee machine and all of that jazz, and we've fixed them all.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't. It doesn't make no difference, because you're associating with other companies so through your computer and so on that haven't fixed theirs. I mean, look at the third world.
Yeah.
So forget it. Like, they're just Japan, they ain't got no money to do any of this anymore, and so it doesn't matter how closely you think you've looked at it as an organization or a country, we are not an island. We have to deal with other organizations who deal with other organizations, and basically everybody's dealing with everybody else in some sort of twisted way, as the World Wide Web and all that sort of jazz. So your systems will fall over, because they will at some point associate with other systems that haven't been, that aren't tickety-boo.
So is it going to be like major catastrophe, or are they just going to be like your computer shuts down?
Apparently the NHS is stopping all a non-essential surgery for the few weeks either side of the millennium, because they're expecting utter catastrophe, just planes dropping from the sky and trains bashing into each other and traffic lights not working, so that people will be smashing into each other in their cars, and lifts stopping, and all the equipment and the computer stuff in hospitals switching off or giving people the wrong dose or whatever. And so basically, it's going to be a horrific time. So I think that Sick Boy was right. We should go home and pull our duvets over our heads and make sure that the electric blanket's switched off.
Exactly. Oh.
So I don't want to be in the air around about that time. Not anywhere near around about that time.
No.
So going to Sydney, Australia would be...
you'd have to leave now.
Exactly.
And not come back for 15 years.
Yes, you'd have to leave now on foot. I'm swimming there, and I'm starting now. But it's unfortunate, because that's where I want to be. I mean, I think that would be the best place on the planet to see in the new year, unless it was on some sort of secluded beach in India or something like that, where you could see the sun come up with 100 of your closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? But it'll probably be, hat, coat, scarf, gloves.
Yeah,
trying to hail a cab in Camden.
Yeah. Well, see, if you go all the way to Sydney, it probably won't live up to your expectations then. Think of it that way.
No, I bet it would. Carol McGiffin is, I think a couple of years ago, she booked a trip, or maybe I shouldn't say this. Because apparently the first place that's going to see it is in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That'd be about right, wouldn't it?
Well, I thought it was this island called Tonga, but I think they're right beside each other. It's all in that area, the South Pacific.
I think she's going there.
Well, why am I not surprised? Carol would book her place at the world's biggest party in human history.
I guess. It's silly of me even to mention it. Here's one in Croydon. Hello? Croydon.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I was talking about my gerbil. He's really stupid sometimes.
Yeah.
He's always going in my mum's cupboard and eating Rice Krispies.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's really... I don't know why he keeps on eating them.
Are you sure it's not a rat?
I'm sure. It's definitely a gerbil.
What's the difference between a gerbil and a rat?
Well, nothing really.
Rats don't taste as nice?
No. Anyway.
Anyway. Okay, well, thanks for passing on that interesting Rice Krispies story. What a nice young person. Here's one in Stafford. Hello.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Yes, sir.
How's your biopsy, by the way?
It's throbbing with pain. I took had the stitches removed today, and it hurts more with them out than it did with them in.
Oh, no. I've had one myself. Never mind. What do you think of Chris Morris?
What do I think of Chris Morris?
Yeah.
What kind of a question is that?
Well, you like American comedy, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, what about Chris Morris? He's a British, and he's the funniest man on the planet.
On the planet?
Yep.
Right, you've taken a survey, have you? Here's one in Glasgow. Hello.
How you doing, Nick?
All right.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the millennium thing, everything going up in the air and everything.
Yeah.
What we should do is, we'll phone New Zealand, and if they don't answer the phone, that means we're all screwed.
I suppose so. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could.
If they don't answer the phone, you know.
You could book your night out on the basis of that. Yeah, we could have set TV cameras up there. You know, we could scatter them in lifts and on trains and planes in the airport and so on and so forth. And if it seems to come through unscathed, then we can venture out.
Yeah. I didn't really want to talk about that anyway. There was a couple of things. They're booking millennium parties in Stirling just now. Book your Millennium Cayley.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they've started to sell Christmas this year already, so I suppose nothing is ever too soon, is it?
Yeah, I would like to talk about Prince Harry going to Eton. Did you see him on the telly today? They've taken him in. Who dresses the wee guy?
I didn't see it on TV, no. What did he look like?
Oh, he had this tweed jacket with the elbow patches, you know, those leather elbow patches?
Yeah.
That you get, you know, come on, the guy's only, what, 12, 13? Who's his dresser, you know? I mean, well, the guy's a young guy. He's probably like
he's being dressed to reflect the taste of his dad.
Well, that says it all, doesn't it?
Who is, you know, a bit of a stuffy old bloke at the best of times.
Exactly. I bet he gets that old grey jacket of his father's as well that he normally wears, you know, that one that's been handed down from Charles I or something like
that. Funny thing about fabulously rich people, they often dress really badly, the more aristo they are, they almost take a pleasure in dressing appallingly, because they don't care, or they pretend not to care. It's
they look skint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a documentary about the people who have inherited great mansions and they're, you know, from their landowning forebears, and they don't have any money themselves or profess not to, and they're, you know, the roof is leaking and they haven't got any heating and there aren't any servants anymore, and they confine themselves to about one or two rooms in a 100-room mansion.
Yeah.
And they're all wearing jumpers with holes in the elbows and trousers that are held up by string, and, you know, and then they're all called Lord and Lady Fofon, you know.
That's correct, yeah. It's like hairdressers, you know, their hair is always a mess.
That is a very good point. Have you ever seen a hairdresser with good hair?
Exactly, and then they start slagging off your own hair.
Yeah, they're normally so embarrassingly coiffed. Like, that bloke is always on TV, looks like a member of the Bee Gees. What's his name?
Who wears jeans? Nicky Clark.
Probably, yeah. He's got this sort of 70s bouffant blonde thing going on that wouldn't look out of place on Jennifer Aniston. And he's squeezing into jeans that obviously do not come in his size.
Well, exactly. They never had a size in the shop.
No, and some great flouncy ballet dancer's pleated shirt. And this is a guy who's married.
Is he married?
To a woman yet.
Really?
Apparently. And he's supposed to be an arbiter of taste and style? You must be joking.
Uh-huh. I also would like to talk about banks as well. I don't know how well a relationship you have with your bank. But today, I was in my bank. And why is it at lunchtime, they've only got one teller on, it's absolutely packed with people, and they charge you a fortune, and you can't cash a cheque in that bank at that particular time? But if you say to them, I want special presentation, oh, no problem, we'll charge you £20.
You know what gets me is
I hate that. Is
when you're waiting for something, not necessarily happens at the bank, because they don't normally have phones right there, but you go into a shop or something like that, and you'll stand at the counter and you'll be, you know, discussing whatever it is that you want with them, and the phone will go, and they'll stop you in mid-sentence to answer the phone.
I hate that.
I mean, that's just drives me up the wall,
I think they do it deliberately because, you know, you're wanting something from them. They just, you can hold on a minute. And it's normally their pal, or you've got some blonde bimbo with hooped earrings. You know, yeah, that's right, Tracy. Yeah, we'll go out tonight. Yeah, okay. That's what the kind of things that happen. That's what happens.
Oh, do you know why blondes wear hooped earrings? Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it.
Oh, 500. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, bye.
They call them F tits. The kids who go into Eton in the first year. This is really bizarre. Anybody go to Eton who can enlighten me about what this all is about? Because all the papers were full of this, because the kids just gone to Eton today, right?
Yeah.
And they call the first year students F-tits.
I heard that last night, yeah.
T-I-T-s. Which is when they get to the end of their schooling there, then the elder boys are called A-tits.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that has different connotations in the upper echelons of our society.
Must be.
I heard that last night, and I thought I'd misheard it. I heard on the news or something. So this can't be right.
Well, this being your last day, then I think it's only right and proper to call you A-tit.
Thank you very much, sir.
So the number here is 0500 1053 89, and yet again I have to buck you up and ask for a response, because this is prophetic so far. Did you hear about the, you know, the silly old men who run British football?
Right.
And, I know precisely nothing at all about football, and so I don't want to get into a big discussion about this, but I couldn't believe it when they said this. You know, there's supposed to be this Super League that's going to have, you know, the big teams in Europe all competing against each other, and they've all been offered 100 million or something like that to take part, because it's all TV rights, and it sounds like, you know, a lot of sexy football coming in. Milan will play Manchester United, and Dortmund will play Liverpool, stuff like that, you know, matches that people actually want to see, rather than, you know, Bath versus Woking or whatever it might be that they serve up on the TV. And so the silly irascible old farts who run things have been saying, oh no, you can't do that because we didn't think about it. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
You know, wait a minute, that would mean that we're not in charge anymore, they would say. There's something that, that our major star teams are going to do that we don't have say over. And naturally, because these blokes have been running things forever with varying degrees of success, they don't want that, because that takes power away from them. And that's it's kind of like British sport all over, well, world sport all over. It's run by silly old men, most of whom have never had any physical contact with the sport at all, who swan around and, you know, they go to drinks parties here and there, and then they get chauffeured off to a plane which is there for their exclusive use. And then they'll go to a five-star hotel and get wined and dined at the taxpayer's expense. And, well, probably not a taxpayer at all. It's like footballer's expense. You know, screw the footballers.
Yeah.
We're on expenses here. And then they'll, you know, after they've done that, they'll go and pick out a new office with a mahogany desk and so on and so forth. And they don't like this building, so we'll move across the road to something far more plush. And just lining their own pockets, you know, it seems to be that's the way that sport generally is run all over the world.
Yeah.
So screw the actual sports people. It's, you know, it's all about, and perhaps that's just human nature. You know, if you were in a position to go and, like say you run the Olympics, right? Everywhere you go, everybody fates you and gives you free stuff and puts you up at the best hotels. And, you know, it's a free food and drink all around, and the keys to the city and the gates are open. You know, you go to Sydney. Where's the next Olympics being held?
It's Japan, Korea, isn't it?
Japan and Korea, that's right. And the free stuff that, that must have been thrown at them from Japan and Korea, they must have made a mountain out of it. Because each one wanted it to be there, right? Theirs, right? And they screwed them both by saying, you're both going to have it.
Yeah.
You know, the
that's not to mention all the other people who wanted it, plying them with free stuff.
Yeah. And North Korea is busy sending rockets over Japan.
Yeah. We wanted the 4x4 relay.
Yeah, in the great spirit of the Olympics, that's right. And they just don't want to give any power over the sport to the actual people who should have it, which is the guys and women that are playing the thing, right? Or who have actually come through the teams and they've become managers. No, these are all like the great and the good, which seems to be the way that this country is run from top to bottom. It's very rarely people who've got anything to do with the industry that they're regulating. They, you know, because they just happen to be friends of the people who are in government. Or they happen to be called Lord whatever, and they haven't got a job anymore. And so they fancy, you know, $5,000 a year just to have one, you know, like a conference every month to decide, well, I didn't like that program. Yeah. So we're going to censor you, you know, and that seems to be the way everything is run here. Lord this and Lady the other and Sir what's his name, all just, you know, don't have anything to do with what they're actually running, who are just kind of sucking up all the freebies.
That's like cabinet ministers too.
But perhaps that is just the human nature. Would you perhaps would do exactly the same?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, considering that everyone else ever has in, you know, 5,000 years, every time they get a chance to whip off a backhander, they do, so.
Yeah. Okay,
well, why would I be any different?
Well, so it's basically what you're saying is it's your fault.
Yeah. Sorry, I slept in.
You did. The number here, 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. You can email us in nabbott2bs1t@talk-radio.co.uk, and the fax number is 0541 59 69 79. Here's one in Chester. Hello. Chester.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Nick. I remember listening ages ago when you had a caller who said that you were on the Lightning Seeds album. Did you ever find anything out about that?
The Lightning Seeds, yeah. I can't remember which track it was.
Yeah, did you find it out?
Well, I heard it. I heard the track and I listened back to it. It's right at the beginning of a track that was released as a single. And on the album version of it, if you turn it right up, it sounds like a bloke talking on the radio, and it sounds for all the world like it could be me. But it's kind of hard to tell what he's saying. It's just the sound of his voice. No, I never did find out.
So you couldn't sue them until Black Owen spoke?
No, well, I wouldn't do that.
That's what you said.
Well, I suppose that sounds like something I would say, yeah.
By the way, what are you wearing at the moment?
Excuse me?
Just that you were saying about people's clothes, and I was just wondering what you were wearing. Like, just imagine you're sitting there in a South Park Who Killed Kenny t-shirt. But I was just wondering.
It's like a fine gauge knitwear polo shirt.
Yeah.
T-shirt and chinos.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'll be able to sleep now.
Well, that's nice to know, Tommy. I mean, Dean. I don't think I'll be. But as long as you're comfortable. 0500 1053 89. I'm leaving by the back exit. We better take a break and we'll come right back.
Nick Abbott. You have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
She's probably very upset about that.
To our penis we knew.
That's what she meant, but she said
penis.
If you chop it up and you know.
Once my love was good enough.
0500 1053 89. Your love will always be good enough for me. Elizabeth from Cheddar.
Alistair Wanklin.
Here's one in Dorset. Hello. Dorset.
I wish they wouldn't do that.
What's that?
Every time they do this, there's a great beep and this is what puts people off. I'm used to it now, but there are lots of people are not. Are you there?
Yeah. What are you talking about, dear?
Never mind. You can talk about to your engineer afterwards. No, what I was saying, going to say to you, all this terrific sort of, oh dear, what are we going to do the millennium? I want to run and hide. It's all very well for young people. But when you're not so young, and anything but young, you realise that by the time the millennium comes along, you're definitely horribly old.
Well, how old is horribly old?
Well, depends on whether it's 2000 or 2001, and I've had a dreadful argument with one of my sons about this. But,
oh, you mean which year? We're celebrating actually the wrong year, and we should be
well,
celebrating...
never mind that. I think 2000, I will be 69.
69?
60, bloody nine.
Good grief!
I don't want...
Time to get a retirement flat in Worthing.
I think I want to go out and play golf.
Golf?
Yeah.
That's a young person's sport. Way too old for you, do you? You want to take up bowls?
No, golf is my sport.
It is?
Yes. And I will play golf, and then I want, in the evening, I think my husband and I probably want to hide. I've just been talking to him about it.
It's not crazy golf, is it?
No, of course not. No, how dare you?
Proper golf.
Yes, of course. I mean, do you play golf?
No, never have.
Ah, well, you see.
Ah, well, I see what?
Well, women are very good at it.
Golf?
Yeah.
Right.
My direction is far, far better than my husband's. All right, he might be able to hit it further. But my direction and it happens with almost all women. The direction is very, very good.
Now, you're talking about your sense of direction or the direction which you can...
No, my sense of direction is hopeless.
Ball.
My sense of direction is completely hopeless.
Yeah.
My sense of direction in golf is very good.
Well, you only have to find out where the tee is.
Yeah, but the, But men sort of slice it or, you know, hit it way over to the left or hook it or whatever. But,
You know how to address your ball, is that what you're saying?
I do.
Right.
But just give a thought to those of us who are a bit older. I mean, I don't look old. I've hardly got a grey hair in the head. And I mean that, neither has my husband. But there's just something that happens when you're older and you think, oh my God, not another lot of, you know. Another lot of, whoopee, we've got to celebrate. I couldn't stand it. Sorry to be so miserable.
So what did you do last year?
We never go out on New Year's Eve.
You don't?
Not since we were young, no. We hide.
When do you stop being young, by the way? Because I don't know when you start being...
Yeah, but the point is that
old.
Nobody would believe that we're the age we are. So
oh,
they don't... They
yeah.
d- they don't they
Easy
don't
for you
that.
To say on a radio.
Huh?
Easy for you to say when I can't see
well,
you.
Well, I wish I could show you a photograph.
Well, perhaps you could press your face against a photocopier machine. Fax me the result.
But it's really true. You don't want to have all this hassle and yuck.
But you were passed by that really quickly, Rachel. I'd like to see a photocopy of your cheeks.
No, not those cheeks. I'll send you one if you like, but not those cheeks. You wouldn't believe it anyway. But
well,
it's true.
Seeing is always believing, yeah.
All right, okay. I'll try and find something.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll still look forward to receiving it.
Thank you very much.
Popping out of my machine. Thanks a lot, Rachel.
Okay,
bye-bye. What a nice lady. 0500 1053 89. Look at that board. Not one stinking call on it. I just get so depressed when I see that. I do. I can't help it. But I just get... I look at that screen, and it's empty. 10 minutes ago, it was completely full.
It was.
Are we having a problem with our phone system? Because never is it actually empty like that.
No. Well, we've had calls. We had one in Glasgow, so it can't be a transmitter thing, because sometimes when it rains, it seems to be, you know, the state-of-the-art equipment that we have.
When it rains, we go off the air? No! You're joking.
No, it's happened. The rain can wreak havoc with your equipment. Apparently, we had trouble with the news feeds the other day, and I called the satellite people, and they said, is it raining where you are? I said, what does that matter? Oh, well, that might be interfering with your dish.
Can we leave my dish out of it?
Yeah.
I just felt like they were floating. So here we go. I'm going to go screenless for a little while. Just see what's going on here. Hello. You're on the air.
Hello. I just checking to see if your phone's working. It's raining where I am.
It is? Where are you, dear?
Cooper Angus, up in Scotland.
Cooper Angus?
Uh-huh. Nanook of the North.
There's no such place.
There is.
Cooper Agnes?
Angus. A-N-G-U-S.
A-N-G-U-S.
Cooper Angus.
Cooper Angus, of course. That's where the cows come from. Isn't it? Okay, well, listen, thanks for the weather report, dear.
Just, you said a while ago you worried about your phones not working.
Okay, I know they're working from your end. Thanks very much.
Okay.
0500 1053 89, free call going screenless. Hello? There's one just exactly what I want.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hi, is that Talk Radio?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello? Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Sorry?
This is really going swimmingly, ain't it? Here's one, another one. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is that James?
Yeah, I'll put you on hold. Here's another one. Hello?
The man is clear in his mind, but his soul is insane.
What was that?
Where all his children here? Even the tigers.
Oh, it's Apocalypse Now. There must be a part of Apocalypse Now. We have a lot of Apocalypse Now chopped up, but Mike, the late Mike, came in too late to actually produce it for us, so we can steal on the air. So Kev will come in and take all of the credit. You know he will.
He will. And you know, he always, first thing will be, he goes, oh, well, the levels aren't very good. I'll have to redo them all.
Yeah. He's probably at home listening to this, making notes, and he'll come in tomorrow with his comedy waistcoat and strut around the place. You know he will. Here's another one, going screenless at the moment. Hello.
I just called to say I love you, yeah. I just called to say how much I care.
Mm-hmm.
I just called.
Here's another one. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Can I talk to the DJ?
Like I said, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Oh, okay, mate. Sorry about that. I'll tell you what my beef is. Thanks. Why is it that when we go to the hole in the walls, they're all connected up to each other, so you can do like an Abbey National one to a Bartley's or whatever. But when you're about to pay a check-in, they want 4 days to clear it. Surely they must be connected up the other end. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Whatever it is you just said, that was his beef. That's coming in so useful, that effect, isn't it? Here's another one. We did all that checks clearing. It's the banks. They're ripping you off, sir. Keep your money in the bag under the bed. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Nick.
Yeah.
How's it going?
All right.
What have David Beckham and Ferrero Rocher got in common?
I don't know. We'll take him off the air just to check. Russell. I want you to check line 3, the answer to that joke, and we'll see if we can actually broadcast that. What have Ferrero Rocher and David Beckham got in common? I'm like, I'm racking my brains now.
I think I've heard this one. I think it's not fit for the air, actually.
Yeah. Really? Well, he's kind of like giving a...
Yeah, well, I don't trust his judgment, actually, yeah.
Okay, turn your mic off, and Russell, who is inexperienced in this respect, had better tell Mike the answer to that joke. And Mike is...
No.
Can't tell you,
what's this? It's okay. It's okay for a pub or a working man's club.
We're actually on the air now, Russell. I don't know if you've...
Oh. He hasn't said anything yet.
No, I know he hasn't. So we can't. No. So no. Dump him.
Yes.
Disgraceful of you even to mention that, but I'm keen to know now. What is it?
I'll tell you in a break.
Okay, we've got a break now? Hooray! So I'll come back and I'll know and you won't. I almost said no, but that would have been childish. But it would have fit right in.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
Free call 0500 1053 89.
So I didn't even get to the point of what I was talking about, this football thing. You know, I kind of went off on one about how sport in general, the whole world over, is run by fat old geezers who are only interested in lining their own pockets.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hell with the people who actually play the sport. Players of Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool, and this is from the Telegraph, it looks like I pulled this. Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool will be banned from representing England at any level if their clubs join the proposed European Super League, the Football Association said yesterday. Emphasis on the word ass in association. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
So they're kind of taking the ball away and saying, it's my ball and you can't play.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they didn't consult them first, and the Football Association won't have any control or power over this new thing, which is all about money and TV rights and so on and so forth.
Mm.
This would mean England taking the field without David Beckham, Gary Neville, Tony Adams, David Seaman, Michael Owen, and Paul Ince. So, in other words, we're screwed. I don't think that these people should be concerned about that, because the press backlash and the fan backlash, if they actually are allowed, you know, these people who run the Football Association, to actually just take the ball away and say, well, it's my game, in that kind of pathetic... I mean, just that the whole attitude seems like such bad losers.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, so
they're being greedy, aren't they? Being greedy.
So what if it doesn't have anything to do with them? You know, it's they're restricting their ability to make money, which is a restriction on their what's the business phrase? Let's just leave it at that. It's restricting their ability to make money. These are businesses of football clubs.
Yeah. Well, they can always make up for it by putting out another new shirt, so
All the fathers got to go and shell another 50 quid to keep their kids quiet.
It says blah, blah, blah. Of the 25 players in Glenn Hoddle's original squad for Saturday's international in Sweden, 12 will not be available to him in future if the Super League goes ahead, while a further 11 would also be denied him if the other English clubs sign on to the unsanctioned league, and Chelsea and Newcastle have already been linked to it, then Hoddle would be hit by further losses such as Graham Lasso and Alan Shearer. I mean, this is just becoming a joke, right? Just because some silly old blokes are kind of... they're not getting their way.
Yeah.
Daft. So I don't think that'll ever happen. I mean, if the Super League goes ahead and the FA, the Football Association people say, right, well, you can't play for England anymore. I mean, talk about shooting yourself in the foot.
Oh, yeah. Well, where are they going to get their money?
Well, where are they going to get the players from? Because naturally the best players gravitate to the best clubs because the best clubs are the ones with all the money, right?
Exactly.
I mean, Michael Owen is not going to go play for Wigan FC, assuming that they have, assuming that there is such a thing. Of course not. The best players will be forever prevented from playing for England. So I don't believe that that's ever going to happen. I mean, the nation will rise against the Football Association, and they won't, you know, and bolting the doors of their ivory towers will not prevent us, the people, from having our way. Damn it.
The mob.
Exactly. We'll be outside chanting,
"Holy poop on a stick."
You can't do that, we'll be saying. So I think that they should go ahead and join the Super League and do whatever it is that they can to, you know, make as much money as they can for the shareholders. That is, after all, the purpose of a floated business. And, you know, the hell with the Football Association. They're never going to be able to do that because the nation will not let a bunch of second rates represent us just because, you know, a couple of old guys from the Football Association say it's our ball and you're not playing. Perfect. That'll never happen. You're joking.
Never.
No, we'll string them up.
Exactly.
Not that I'm recommending people go over and string them up because that would be wrong.
No.
But I think a stiff letter to the Times is in order.
To whom it may concern.
Yes. Okay, so it's 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. I will go away in order to come back again.
Award-winning talk radio across the UK on 1053 and 1089 AM. KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
Tell all of your friends, I'm over here now. And now for something completely else.
There is a good fairy after all.
Really? What's his name? Bigger bunch of freaks I've never heard on any show ever. Here it comes. Mark from Cardiff singing whatever it was he just said he was going to sing.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah, too long. Knock, knock. Who's there?
I don't know.
I don't know who.
I don't know who would need Viagra.
That joke sucks.
You're the best thing on this station.
At this time? Yes, you're right. I'm the only thing on this station at this time.
Nick Abbott.
Actual real country song titles. These go on forever. So what do you have to think about? The last word in Lonesome is me.
That's a good one.
It is a good one.
That's quite poetic.
Tennis must be your racket, because love means nothing to you. Yeah. She's out doing what I'm here doing without.
All right.
She got the gold mine, and I got the shaft.
I know that one. That's Jerry Reed.
She made toothpicks out of the timber of my heart. And, worryingly, swing wide your gate of love. Excuse me?
What?
Actual real country song titles.
Excellent.
All right, let's speed through some of these, because we haven't taken many calls yet, and there's no good reason why. Here's one in Glasgow. Hello.
All right, Nick, how's it going?
All right, thanks.
Good, good. I want to talk to you about rock festivals.
Yeah.
Ever been to one?
Of course.
Well, maybe. Where have you been?
Well, Glastonbury since 1982.
Brilliant. Every year?
Not every year, no.
Well, I went to Tea in the Park and V98 this year.
Yeah.
And I've never had a better time in my life.
Really? Didn't it rain constantly?
Just amazing. Well, it was a similar story. Both festivals, the Saturday was beautiful, but Sunday was abysmal, basically.
Right, but you didn't mind that?
That's all part of the atmosphere, really.
Well, yeah. No, I disagree. It's much, much better when it doesn't rain. I mean, I didn't go to the last two Glastonburys, but I went to the previous year that it famously rained, which was, I can't remember, 86 or something like that?
Yeah.
Which was an absolute nightmare. I don't believe it was as bad as it was last year, which looked like the worst ever.
Yeah. But it was pretty swampy this year as well, I heard.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This year, that's right. This year was the worst ever.
Yeah.
But I went to the previous year that it famously rained.
Uh-huh.
And the thing with rock festivals is that all you want to do is go somewhere and sit down. Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
That is very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And that's the one thing you're prevented from doing is, first of all, going anywhere is difficult and takes, you know, twice or three times as long as it ordinarily would.
Yes.
And becomes a major undertaking.
Uh-huh.
Such that you think, oh, the hell with it, I can't be bothered to go over the other stage. I'll just watch whatever is presented to me here. It's almost like losing the remote on your TV.
Uh-huh.
And you can't sit down, like, anywhere at all. And so you're standing all the time, which is a nightmare.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, I take it you were camping.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that it's really, you just got to be up for the spirit of it.
I mean, how old are you? Late teens, I bet, something like that.
Indeed, 18.
Well, see, there you go.
Yes.
You talk to me in 20 years' time, and you'll want to sit down places.
Once I pick up my social security.
Yeah,
that's right.
When you get your bus pass, then let me know. 0500 1053 89, free call. Here's one. Good grief, it's Professor Popcorn.
Hello, Nick. Heidi, hi.
Hello.
I've been on hold since yesterday.
Have you?
Yes.
Hold this.
That woman is a terrible influence on you.
What woman?
Carol. Oh, she won't. I hope she's not listening. She'll be offended by that.
You sent me a postcard from somewhere else.
Gay Paris.
Paris, yeah.
Yes. Had a lovely time.
Really?
I couldn't hear you over there.
Now, let's explain...
who I am.
What did you just say?
Nothing, sorry.
You're a children's entertainer.
I am.
Who dresses in a clown uniform.
That's it. That's me. For a living.
And how's the business going?
Business is going very well, Nick.
Really?
Absolutely fabulous, yeah.
People like your act?
Yeah. People love my act.
The start of the show when they announce, now, Professor Popcorn, do you ever hear this sound?
No. What sound is that, Nick? Not yet. Not up to now.
Tell us a joke.
I don't tell jokes.
What?
I don't tell jokes. I'm a clown. I'm a visual entertainer on the radio. So
what did you get up to in Paris then?
We saw all the sights, all the usual things.
At the earliest possible opportunity. What?
We saw the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe and all that nonsense, and we did the tourist thing. And we went into McDonald's. Can I say McDonald's?
I think you just did.
We went into a burger bar, and we don't eat meat. So my wife, she went up and she said, do you do veggie burgers? And he pretended he didn't know what we meant. And then she said, no meat. And he said, no meat. So we sat down, and about 10 minutes later, they brought to our table two burgers, and inside was a slice of cheese and a piece of lettuce and a tomato. No meat. So you don't get veggie burgers in France. They just give you a beef burger without the beef burger, I suppose, which was a bit spooky. But we sat and ate it.
Well, that's not what you described. You said the thing came to the table with two buns and a bit of
wet lettuce. Yeah, I mean, we asked for a veggie burger with no meat.
Right.
And that's what he gave us, a burger bun.
With nothing in it.
Yeah, with nothing in it. But we sat and ate it.
Well, it's probably for the best, because you know what those veggie burgers do to you?
They're awful. Yeah,
Yeah, they do.
Okay, listen, thanks a lot, Professor.
It's a pleasure.
And the best of luck with whatever the hell it is that you do.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 0500 1053 89. It's a freak. Here's one on the M25. Hello.
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 Hello. Here, these football people.
Yes.
They didn't argue when they took the old First Division, which used to be run by the Football League, and collared all the money for that, did they? Three or 4 years ago, before it became the Premiership?
I know nothing.
It was run by the Football League, wasn't it?
I've got no idea, mate.
Was indeed.
Well, if you say so, I have no information in that respect. As I say, I know nothing about football. I couldn't believe it. The arrogance of these people, they said that if Manchester United and Arsenal, Liverpool and all that lot join this Super League, which sounds like an interesting prospect for me, you know, cause I don't support any particular team, but I like to watch a good match. And it sounds like they had some good matches that might, you know, come out of this, right?
Yeah.
The best teams in the world all playing each other in a Super League. I mean, how exciting is that? And because they didn't have anything
to entertainment, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Entertainment.
And because the Football Association, the old men who run that, don't have anything to do with this, and because they didn't okay it, first of all, and because they won't have any power over it, they say, right, well, you can't play for England anymore, which seems incredible.
Well, nobody else would do it, would they? You know, you're going to... Germany aren't going to ban all their players if they have a couple of teams in there, are they?
Well, apparently it says that they're going to get together with FIFA and UEFA, who still control, you know, most of the game, and ban everybody who goes into this thing.
Well, that's like...
The whole world over.
That's like Juan Antonio Samaranch, or whatever his name is, saying that athletes can take performance-enhancing drugs for the Olympics.
Oh, they're going to anyway. I mean, all that stuff about all athletes are clean and, you know, the Olympic ideal and all that rubbish. Do us a favour. Everybody's on it. Well,
yeah.
No, not everybody. Everybody except a few people.
Who don't get caught. Call me cynical.
Well, perhaps that's the way it is. I couldn't... You might think that. I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, there you go. Anyway, sport is full of them.
It's and they're full of it, no question. Thanks a lot, mate. 0500 1053 89. Free one. Let's do we have to go away, come back? Okay, more actual country song titles. So this has been going on too long. I've got so many of these to get through them. I've got the shaft. Tennis one. Right. How about learning to live again without you is killing me? Or may the bird of paradise fly up your nose? Real, actual country songs? You must be joking. How about Mama Get the Hammer? There's a fly on Papa's head.
Nick Abbott.
He's a stand-up guy. He really cares about you, too.
Hit me! No. No. Yeah.
These ads aren't long enough. I've been trying to eat this apple for the past 15 minutes. It's going bran. I don't like bran. So we got new Carol McGiff, because Carol came in yesterday at 8. And then we didn't take one more stinking call. People were waiting like 50 minutes to get on the show. And I just talked to her for an hour, didn't
yeah.
I?
Yes.
What did we talk about?
Oh,
not nothing. I don't think we talked about anything.
Can you believe that, though?
No. She came in here and we rabbited away for 60 minutes.
No.
Yeah. And you know what 60 minutes make? 1 hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Precisely 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed many and various different things, like, I don't know. She does, perhaps, show a tiny little propensity to alcoholism.
I've got a drinking problem.
Exactly. But generally, I thought we worked quite well together.
Well, we do, don't we, Nickers?
So there's a few extra things to play around with, but they'll never be, to me, as funny as when she says...
Yeah.
Just there's something inherently funny about that.
No.
There is.
Right.
But generally, as we know...
I'm so annoying.
0500 1053 89. God bless you, Carol. Here's one in... Let's see who's been waiting the longest. It looks like a call in Stockport to me. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Nick.
I thought I'd phone you and do you a quick tarot reading. I know you might not be into sort of, you don't seem to be into spiritual.
No, no, that's a good idea. You read my tarot and I'll eat my apple.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you want one card reading for a specific question or three cards for your past, present and future? One might be better, might it?
I don't, I've never had this done before. What is the normal procedure?
Well, you think of a question, I'll shuffle the cards, you tell me when to stop, and then I'll do your reading. I'm right. Doing it quick, you see, because normally it's 10 cards, but...
Do I have to tell you what the question is?
No, that's the good bit.
All right.
Do you want me to do it?
I've got a question in my mind now, yeah.
Right, I'm going to shuffle the cards and just say... McGiffin, when you want me to stop.
Well, wait a minute, what qualifications do you have to do this? I mean, do you do this for a living?
I've just started advertising, but I don't like charging money for it, but yeah, I'm starting to. Been doing it for years.
And you believe that this can actually see into the future? I mean, surely
it doesn't see into the future.
Well, what does it do?
It doesn't tell your fortune or your future, it tells you how you got in the position you're in and what to do about it. Like, it gives you a resolve for the actual question or quandary. It gives you a second voice of, you know, like, say you ask your mate what you think of such a thing, and they say, oh, it's this, it's that, but you never think, you know, okay. The card, sort of, it's like an independent, from out of nowhere, voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but surely the cards are so vague that it's up to the person who's charging money for this, i.e. you, to just put some sort of spin on it that corresponds with what the person's circumstance is. In other words, you might as well just sit there and dole out advice. But because nobody will pay for that, wait a minute, because nobody will pay for that, then you have this kind of method of extracting money because it's some sort of mystical thing. It's the cards, you say.
Yeah, well, I've not. Well, what? The cards are just a medium for. It's almost like the counsellor's couch in a sense.
Yeah,
without
exactly.
The couch, but yeah.
Without the.
But I don't need to know your problems
qualifications.
First.
Okay, is your name really Merlin?
No. No, it's for effect.
For effect. Okay, nice effect, Merlin. Okay. All right, okay, I have the question in my mind. Absolutely. The question in my mind is firm.
Don't
and,
tell me. Oh, yeah.
And you're shuffling the cards now?
Right, I am.
Okay, stop.
Right. Let's have a look. The Queen of Wands, spiritual transformation. In fact, I'm going to put a few out. Right. Spiritual transformation, you're going through major change. You're conscious of your lack of stability. In your subconscious mind, you know it's a matter of spiritual strength. In your past, you've been a bit of a fool. In the future, you're coming close to completing something in order to change the direction of your life completely. But you've got a major decision relating to your inner emotions that's karmic. It's going to change your past and change your future. It's changing the past situation for a new current for the future. But beware of moods. People might think you're a moody so-and-so. because that's the emotion you're giving out. It's not. That's true. Tell us. Back out a bit. She's there everywhere. The actual reality of it is, though, is there's fluctuation. Things are changing a lot. Up and, you know, like the moon controls the waters, the tides, and... the women's sort of mental cycles.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. And the natural outcome is limits on your travel. Limited travel. But, does that have anything to do with your question?
I'm
looking through it like mad, right? But if you wanted an answer, it's to do with spiritual transformation, which is energy.
But what does that mean?
What does it mean? what do you mean? It means that you're going through a lot of changes on the inside, and they're coming out not as a different person or personality, but you're going through a lot of internal changes with thoughts and emotions and energy.
But you understand, to a cynic like me, that just sounds like a load of old cobblers, Merlin.
Yeah.
It sounds so deeply vague that anybody could fit it to their lives and think, and if they sort of believed, if they were, you know, so gullible that they believed this tripe, they would say, oh yes, you've got it, that's me.
Possible, but I mean, I am doing it a bit rushed as well. It is a bit of a rushed situation because I don't want to, you know, obviously take up all the time on the radio. But it's also another medium as well. I've got I was going to tell you a joke as well, but I'm not sure if you'd let me tell it on the air. I'd have to go off again.
You mean you couldn't tell beforehand whether I was going to let you tell it?
Well, I knew you'd put me off and then bring me back on, but you probably would let me tell it as the final outcome. It would be okay.
You've seen it in the cards?
Let Mike listen to it. No, I've seen it in my mind as such, like.
You read your own mind? Wow.
Well,
that's some kind of talent, ain't it?
No, it just shows me pictures now and again.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I'm calling the police. Right, he's on line 5. Listen to what the joke is. Maybe I should get him to set it up. Merlin, you still there?
Hello?
Is it a setup and a punchline?
Yeah.
Okay, give us the setup, but not the punchline.
Okay. What, now?
Yeah.
Oh, right. This man goes to the doctors. He says, I've got a bit of a problem passing water. And he says, what do you mean? He says, well, it's me...
Now, are you about to...
I'm not saying it, no, my manhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, it's my manhood. He says, well, let me have a look.
Now, wait a minute, which part of this is actually the punchline? Because I don't want to hear...
This is a build-up.
Right, this is a long build-up.
Well, it's not that long, because it's another few seconds. So he gets his manhood out, and it's got 9 holes in it.
Okay, now wait a minute. I feel almost certain that we don't want to hear the rest of that, and Mike is nodding his head.
I'm shaking my head. And I don't want to hear anything to do with anybody named Merlin.
Funnily,
in manhood.
I predicted that you were going to say that. Weird, eh? Okay, thanks a lot for your contribution, Merlin.
Okay.
Go shuffle your cards. Here's one in Blackheath. Hello? Blackheath.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, it went horrible.
Just for a second there, yeah.
What I wanted to know is, I had to go past your building today, mm-hmm. early afternoon, and there was a whole crowd of people outside. I was dying to say, you lot talk radio, but I didn't.
What were they doing?
They were smoking. They were all smoking like mad.
People can smoke in this building, though, can't they, Mike?
No.
You're not allowed to smoke in the building?
No, it's a non-smoky building.
The whole building is non-smoking.
Well, the studios are, and the offices are, I think. And I think they frown upon it elsewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And...
Is that why you get through about 4 packets of nicotine chewing gum?
Yeah.
So what's up, Pat?
I just wanted to know if maybe you were amongst that crowd, or
no.
Maybe if one of them was Ash. Tall and dark with a beard. But he had a suit on, and I don't picture him suited.
No, booted perhaps, but not suited. No, I couldn't imagine that.
Do you
no.
know anyone who's tall with a beard and dark? Glasses.
He was beginning to sound like Santa Claus, dear.
No, he looked media. And there's
Jerry
another
Adams?
Short guy in blue, with sort of, kind of, fairly spotty and fair.
Right, I think she's been to the bottom of her garden and she's seeing the gnomes that she left there from
the
last year.
No, they're outside talk radio.
Your gnomes are outside talk radio? How on earth did they get there?
And I was just... Do you think it could have been any of your mob?
Yeah, perhaps.
Who does the description fit?
Who does the description fit? I'm thinking... I don't know.
Oh, what a pity.
Isn't it a shame? 0500 1053 89 free one. Here's one in the Isle of Wight. Hello.
Hello. I was actually listening to you yesterday complaining or arguing with some bloke about Armageddon and how good it was.
Yeah.
And the like. And it just made me remember, I hate film critics.
So do I.
People who get paid money to watch films and just don't enjoy them.
And then to tell you what the plot is.
Yeah, well, they don't go there to enjoy themselves. They just go there, and if it's not got subtitles and it's French, they don't want to know. In particular, one personal, horrible, nasty critic, Barry Norman. Am I allowed to say his name?
I think you just did. Barry Norman, that's the thing with Barry Norman. First of all, whenever he did an interview, he was so greasily sucking up to whoever he was doing an interview with. I mean, he couldn't, it was like he'd... you know those rubber things that you stick on a shower wall and put your face flannel on?
Yeah.
It was like somebody had wet his lips and stuck them to the bottom of whoever it was he was interviewing. It was a disgusting sight. And he just doesn't like anything that doesn't have subtitles. Or rather, the other way around, he loves anything that's got subtitles, no matter what dire, boring tripe it happens to be.
Oh, it's very true. I'm glad he's gone now, hasn't he? I think
he was in that job far too long.
I'm sorry, it makes me quiver. I hate him so much. But I don't know, it's films, you know, the big blockbuster type films. I just go there and I love them.
Of course, that's what you want when you go to a cinema. You want to see a lot of explosions, a lot of car chases. Not necessarily a lot of people getting killed, because that doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, explosions and... But not too big an explosion. You know, if it's only going to be a small explosion, you don't want the explosion to be too big, because I've said it time and time again.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off!
Thanks a lot, mate. 0500 1053 89 free call. This is Talk Radio. I'm Nick Abbott. Where is the next break? 10 minutes. Okay, here's one in London. Hello.
Hello, Nick. I've a few things I've rung up about. One, where's Kev's body? What an excuse, is he on holiday? That's a crap excuse. He's not on holiday.
I guess it was just a matter of time before you rumbled my ruse.
Yeah. But, well done, by the way, because, better than Kev. Foreign, but, you know... Can't have everything.
You've got to put up with what you get dealt. Yeah.
Also,
the tarot card dealer says.
Also, about the film critics. Johnny Vaughan. Film critic? I think not. He's the worst. And
he actually do that?
Well, he gets people off the street. So he actually gets away with not reviewing the film.
Well, I don't think that's his job.
But he comes and he asks for other people who know nothing about films.
But who knows anything about films? All you know is you go, it's like art. Who knows anything about art? You just go it, you like it, or you don't. And that's it. You know, I don't know anything about films. All I know is what I like. And I think that's a great idea to actually ask real people off the street. Not some, not a film critic. Because film critics see like 10 films a week. You know, they'll see they'll see 3 films a day. Because I was on that circuit for a little while.
Mm.
Your first film starts at 10 in the morning. Then there's one at 1 o'clock. And then there'll be another one at 4 o'clock. And there might well be one at 7 o'clock in the evening as well. So you're seeing like literally 3 or 4 films a day, you know, for at least the front part of the week. So you're going to get sick to death of films. And you're going to see the same stuff over and over again. Because, you know, famously there's 7 plots in a story.
Yeah.
And they're just, rehashed over and over again, the same thing. And so you basically are going to start hating the thing that you are supposed to be reviewing. The whole concept of going to see a film is not something that you'll actually enjoy. And over and above that, you won't have the same experience as people who ordinarily go to see films and pay their money and go in and so on and so forth. You'll see them in exclusive little theatres and you'll be surrounded by other critics who won't express enjoyment for the film because they've also had to sit through 6 hours of trouble before they come to see this one. And so nobody will laugh if it's a comedy. And, you know, this is not a normal way of seeing movies. You don't have the same experience as the people, as the poor sods who read the review and get put off going to see a great film like Armageddon. It's because some snooty bloke who's probably seen, you know, something that was kind of similar to it and had to sit through it for 3 hours beforehand and he's in a bad mood.
Did you hear what the critics did at Cannes when they were shown a shortened version of Armageddon? They all laughed.
Well, it wasn't a shortened version of it. It was clips,
yeah. And they just laughed.
And Bruce Willis said, I'm glad to know that you see the destruction of the world as something for amusement. Yeah.
But the people on Movie Watch, they're all the same. They're like 18 to 20. And they're at university and that's it.
Well, those are the people who films are being made for, because those are the people who go and see films. I mean, that's your ideal market.
You could have a bit of variation, though, couldn't you? Just a tad.
But those are the people who are going to watch that program. I mean, my parents aren't going to watch that program. It's the kids who are at university and the, you know, people who aspire to be that age. You know,
like
teenagers and early 20s, that's the audience that goes and sees films.
So I
think they've got it quite, I think they've got it right there.
One last thing, how do I get into the radio? Because it's what I want to do.
Don't.
You have put me off, but no, seriously, it is what I want to do, and because I don't need any qualifications. You've just got to talk, I can cope with that, sure. And I've always wanted to do that, and I was just wondering how.
Is it the only thing you want to do?
Yep.
If you go through years of misery and heartache and people telling you you can't do this and you're rubbish and you'll never make it in this business,
funny,
and
that's send off at school at the moment.
And send off hundreds of letters to radio stations all over the country and not get one single reply in response, and 10 years later you still haven't got anywhere, Are you, even then, going to be prepared to keep on with it?
Yep. Is this a sort of a sore nerve? How did you get in?
It was a nightmare. But what I'm saying, no, never did. But what I'm saying is that this will happen to you unless you're really, really lucky. A never-ending story of grief and horror.
Well, I think it's worth it. I really do.
Well, if after all, hearing all of that,
yep.
You still think it's worth pursuing your goal, and in 10 years' time, you might still be working on hospital radio station and have still got nowhere and still be doing shows for no money at all,
yeah.
If then you are still prepared to keep going, then I wish you the best of luck, because it's the only way you'll succeed in show business.
Is there any chance of me doing sort of work experience at Talk Radio, like making tea, washing floors, you know, licking shoes, you know?
I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
We're sort of up to our ears in exploited children.
Yeah, we've got the work experience people up the stick here, mate.
Ooh, sounds like fun.
But I would apply to the relevant person, whomsoever that might be, and, you know, they tend to get through about one a week, don't they, at radio stations?
Well, wear them out.
They come in, they do a week's work, and then
they come in fit, young, healthy men, and they go out like
demoralized,
spent. Yeah. Yes, and they change them once a week, don't they? Something like that. So anyway, just apply, and you will be if you get a response back, it will probably say something like, "We don't have a position to suit you at the moment, but we'll keep your details on file."
Yeah.
Get used to hearing that phrase. 0500 10 53 89 free call. Here is one in London. Hello? London. Just wants to hear her name on the radio. Hello, Joe. Gone. How about Harlow?
Hello.
Harlow?
Hello. Instead of your Friday punk night, why don't you have a sensational Alex Harvey band night? Hello?
Yeah? Why would you say a thing like that, I wonder?
Because it's far better than punk. He's a much maligned man who's no longer with us.
Who maligns Alex Harvey? Nobody.
Well, nobody ever mentions him.
Well, how can you not mention somebody and malign them at the same time?
Well, it's difficult, I admit, but it's probably been done.
You aren't a member of the sensational Alex Harvey Band fan club by any chance, are you?
No, I'm not actually, no.
You're not a member of the band, are you?
No.
You're not Alex Harvey himself, are you?
Well, I'd be doing very well if I was.
I know. You're not shacked up with Elvis, are you?
No, that's a different thing altogether. But the sensational Alex Harvey Band does deserve a bit of airtime, and he doesn't get anything. No mentions.
I know, the only song that will ever get played on the radio, and
Tea Party.
No, it'll be Delilah.
Mm, but you've done so many good ones.
I know. And please remember at all time that Vambo rules. 0500 1053 89. Free call. This is Talk Radio.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
Free call. 0500 1053 89.
Line for a line. Drop some of these. He's not going to be in. Some bloke who rang up and said he's written a sitcom. Would I like to be in it?
A real sitcom?
I've got no idea what this is about. But he seems to be a person without an answering machine. So are we... What? Did you hear what that was?
I'd say leave your message now or something.
Oh. I don't want to. I'm shy. I don't like using them. Here's a call in Barnum Green. Hello?
It was you, wasn't it, Nick?
What was that?
An old Channel 5, I think it was, last week. And if any listener is listening to this, tell me if it's him. It's you, isn't it?
Who?
You did a program on fishing in Canada. It was you. It was you, I tell you.
I did a program on what?
Fishing in Canada.
Fishing in Canada. Doubtful.
You did. It's that boy. That boy. And I thought, well, I'm going to ask. You did, but I'm sure it was you. It was, wasn't it? It was.
Snooze to me.
It's not. It was in Channel 5, I tell you, last week. If anybody else saw this program, can they phone in and let us know? It was you.
You're sitting at home watching a show about fishing in Canada on Channel 5?
That was because it was you. It was your voice.
You need to get a life, Catherine.
I know. I have, actually. But I thought, I'll ask you, because you have that voice. It's very unique anyway. We all know it is. And I thought, it's him. And then we saw this cut to the person presenting this program, and it was you, great hair. I thought you were younger, sporty and all that, but he was gorgeous, this person. Was that you, Nick?
Catherine, not only do you need to get a life, but you need to get another phone. This is awful. It's like talking to you in a fish tank.
Well, that's because I'm practicing what you did last week on the program. It's not working, obviously.
Really? Okay, well, try breathing through your ears. Here's one, well, it's not been set up yet, so let's go screenless. Hello? You're on the air. Speak to me. All right, don't. Idiot. How about another one? Hello? You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Right, I want to talk about last night.
Okay.
12:15 a.m. in the morning.
Now, is that 12:15 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, last night in the morning.
Okay.
Right. I was going to a club, yeah. Are you listening?
Avidly.
Right. And I'm a virgin. My name's Richard.
Yeah, well, I think this nickname is the operative word in that respect. Good grief. Rush, you're not going fast enough, man. You've got to set these calls up much quicker than this. We got another break now? Well, we just did the break earlier, didn't we?
Break, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, blimey.
What's mine?
Nick, what's yours? All right, let's keep going. Hello?
Hello, Nick.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing okay, is this Nick?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Well, I just phoned up because, well, I don't know. Why?
Oh, no. How about a lightning round? That'll spark things up.
No.
How about we end the show early and go home?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go now. Is my cab waiting?
Your chariot awaits.
Sometimes it's so painful. I mean, can you imagine how... it's hard to kind of get your head around that anybody could be so stupid as to say, hello, is that Nick? Oh, thanks, goodbye. I mean...
Maybe it was the guy the screenplay calling back.
Where do you even start? I mean, it's not even pathetic, it's just... It's... words fail me. Here's one in Hull, hello. Joan.
Hello. Now, who am I speaking to?
Blimey. You're speaking to Nick, Joan.
Oh, hello. You haven't heard from me for a while. You know, I was the cleaner woman that phoned up in Pulver.
You what?
You know, I told you.
You were the cleaning woman that called up from where?
Pulver.
Pulver?
Yes. You can't remember that. But my ultimate joke is, Nick, when we had a plague of mozzies out here in East Anglia. Now, when one bites you, 10 million come to their funeral.
Joan, what are you doing with your phone?
My phone? With one of these new phones, I... Can you get that joke? Can you hear me?
Oh, I can... Every now and again I can hear you, but it sounds as though you, you're sticking the phone in the...
No,
your cleavage.
No. Did you get the joke?
What joke?
I told you, we've had a plague of mosquitoes.
Yeah?
In East Anglia.
Right.
And when one bites you, 10 million come to their funeral. Get the joke?
Well, I can't, no. Oh, blimey, it gets worse. Seriously, I want to kill myself now. I do. I don't want to talk to these people anymore.
Can we get Carol back?
Yes. as much as we argue with each other, you know, you put us in a room and about an hour in, we're fine. 2 hours and we're at each other's throat. But at least I don't have to talk to these people. Seriously, and I mean that as rude as it sounds. At least I don't have to talk to these people.
That's quite demoralizing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You know, you get a nutter every now and again, and it's okay.
Mm.
You know, you can just swing by that. But you nutter after nutter after nutter, and what is amazing to me, and it's always been amazing to me, like I've never called a radio show up, ever.
Never.
No, never.
Not even to make a request.
No, never will. So, I'm initially surprised that anybody calls. But, you know, bless the people that do. But I'm mostly surprised that people who call, who have got nothing to say. And call up to just go, you know, and then put the phone down. I mean, you'd kind of expect that of, like, 12-year-olds, because that would be thrilling for them to actually have been on the air, and they go, ooh, and then they can put the phone down and giggle to each other about it. But some of these people sound, like, way too old for this, you know? But, as I've said many times before, never underestimate the stupidity of the general public, because they are just, like, it's beyond shocking how thick people are. And you only realize it when you come and do a show like this, and you get to meet people over the phone, thank goodness, not in real life, not actually face to face. These people, all of whom, mostly, you would cross the street to avoid.
Well, if you saw them in your neighborhood, you'd call the police.
Yeah. You'd reach for your firearm.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay, let's do it again. Because there's nothing that you can do other than just keep doing it. Here's one in Southampton. Hello? Southampton.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
There you go again. Like, what the hell is going on here? Is that all you called to say? Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't know what goes on. I was rang to speak about the Super League.
Okay, I'll put you on hold. Blimey. Here's one in Warwick. Hello?
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm talking about the BBC, you know, I've been talking about it the last couple of weeks, about how they have no ideas of their own.
Yeah.
Basically, I just got rejected from the BBC, so I'm an embittered applicee.
Really?
Yeah.
Rejected for what?
Sort of graduate trainee thing.
Graduate trainee to do what?
It was never more specific than that, really.
What?
Well, it was kind of, you know, it was in BBC Wales, and basically they said that they sort of taught you everything about everything, apart from how to act, I suppose, but everything else other than that, you know.
You?
Production.
You were rejected by BBC Wales?
Holy poop on a stick.
You're joking.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeking, you know, some kind of therapy here, but
You might as well end your life now. That is the most depressing thing I've ever heard. You're not even good enough for BBC Wales?
But this is the point of my call, really, because the application, I was told that they had 900 applications, right? And each application had two ideas for a program, each application form.
Yeah.
Now, from there...
That's right, 1,800 ideas.
1,800 ideas, right. And then they don't even bother with that when you get to the interview. Basically, what they do is they say, right, do another idea, plus a theme night, you know, like a whole series of nights programming.
Right. I wonder why they do this. Wonder why.
This is the thing, and I was speaking to someone at the interview who knew someone who worked for BBC in Scotland, and apparently that it's just, they do, they just delve into these application forms whenever they, you know, they're stumped.
And come up with an idea that some sucker like you has written down, and they'll dine out on that one for a couple of weeks.
And the worst part of the whole thing is that, you know how many places, from 900 applications, they don't tell you this when you answer the ad. How many places there were on offer?
I'll guess 3.
Up to 4.
Up, yeah.
But so what euphemistically means 2, probably.
Which could also include the number 0.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, whenever they run out of ideas, in fact, it's a great idea anyway. Whenever you run out of ideas, you advertise a job, and what you have to do on your application is, you know, put some great ideas on, and we'll think about it. There are up to 3 places available. A 0 is a figure which is up to 3.
My idea was, I had a great idea for my interview. It was give Vanessa Feltz a show on BBC. Give her 2.5 million. and watch her go.
What a great idea. Yeah. If only she would.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers, man.
0500 1053 89. Now we're rolling. Here's one in the Black Country. Hello.
Hello there, Nick. I'd like to discuss the... Have you seen the revamped version of The Big Breakfast lately?
I didn't think it was on yet.
It is. It started on the 1st of September.
It did? What, they're back? Denise and, what's his name?
Denise and Johnny. I just like, you know, Johnny Vaughan's quite... I don't know how he keeps it up. Like, I don't know how he can be on for, like, 2 hours every day and come up with so much good stuff.
He doesn't come up with it. It's in the script. He arrives, like, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and they have 50 people behind the scenes all writing it up. And he's got a thing in his ear, which is, you know, directions from the gallery. And that clipboard, he doesn't just carry around for effect. It's in a script.
Well, how can he? Well, why has it been such a disaster in the past then, if they've had good writers?
But I'm not saying everything is in the script, but it doesn't just make the show up as he's going along. I mean, you must understand that.
But I mean, he's got to have some input, hasn't he? I mean, he does a really great range of characters. Denise Van Houten's just, she's terrible.
Well, she's not terrible, but her job is to look good and be blonde, and, you know, and she does it terrifically well. But no, he really does hold the show together, no question about it. He's the best one on that show since Chris.
Well, he's better than Chris Evans, I believe. I mean, he might not have the media skills of Chris Evans, but I mean, he's a lot more, he's got a lot more personality.
Well, I wouldn't, that might be something that you can say, but I wouldn't...
Oh, come on, Nick.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Well, you moulded out for a job probably at Virgin, didn't you? So, I mean, you wouldn't say that, would you?
No, I wouldn't. But then again, I wouldn't say that. So, there it is. I mean, there's no point in arguing about it. They're both very good at they do.
Well, yeah, that's a bit off the subject, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, her breasts were nearly falling out this morning. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, there go the ratings.
Through
the roof.
That's what I thought, because my friend who's at university, he was saying how he watches it, you know, on a morning, and it gets him, you know, going. And I says, well, you know, you've got to basically look at it from a different point of view.
Yeah, and you wonder how Johnny Vaughan keeps it up for 2 hours. Are you joking? 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. We need to take a break and come back. Is that what we need to do? Okay, actual real-life country song titles. I'm only going to give you one because this is so sweet. My everyday silver is plastic.
This is Talk Radio, the 1998 KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
Nick Abbott. You have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
It's difficult to get it on the beat. This system has to be tightened up. You moan.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, don't say ho. 0500 1053 89, free call. Here is one in Dereham. Hello, Dereham.
Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Well, just a quickie before I ask you what I really want to ask you. I know you're going home soon.
Just a quick one.
Just a quickie. You know the music you play at the beginning? You go, is it drumming? That kind of thing.
Is it what?
Is it drumming?
Is what drumming?
Is it the music sometimes you play at the beginning?
What the hell are you talking about?
Maybe it's guitars, but it sounds like drumming.
Yeah.
Like that.
How does it go?
I'm doing it with my fork on the plate. No, just a quickie anyway. How is your fork? When are you going to know about your forehead, please?
On the 8th.
The 8th, I'll be thinking of you. And a quickie about Carol. Do you listen at the weekend? To her show?
Did I listen to her show?
At the weekend?
No.
It's brilliant.
No.
Yeah.
No, the thing is with it, she's thinking, she told us last Sunday or Saturday, she's thinking of going on a nudie cruise. And I wondered if you were going with her.
Am I going with her?
Would she take you by the hand on a nudie cruise?
You mean, has she thought of taking me along?
Maybe I have, maybe I haven't.
I shall ask her this week.
You call her too?
I will.
You mean you spread it about as well, like beyond my program?
Well, why not? We've got to talk about you and keep you up front.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Keep you up front for everybody to talk about.
If you've got it, Hazel, you should whip it out and show it to us. No question about it.
You too. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, love.
What a nice lady. Here's one in Shoreham. Hello.
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 Hello, this is Jane Insurer.
Is it?
I'm happy.
Why are you happy? What?
Because I've been a doormat for 10 years.
What's the
and I've got a new job insurer and an estate agent. And so I want to say to my employers, or my soon-to-be former employers, stop your job, I don't need it.
Huge amounts of happiness over at your place. Where show business came from, I have no idea. I think it was waiting in the bushes in order to scare me, which it did. So, I was going to ask her what job she was going to leave, but she left. Here's one in Maidstone. Hello.
Good evening, Nick.
How you going?
Is it full moon tonight?
Is it? That's a good question. Go and check. Is it a full moon tonight? I want somebody to check that right now. Look it up on the internet or just peer out the window, one of the two. Because it does, every time there's a full moon, the calls do go... Meno! So anyway, back with you.
Thank you. This is a story, Nick, that I was told by a friend in the US of A. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it's certainly workable. This is following on from your caller earlier on, talking about the BBC and the innuendo and the possibility of people nicking ideas.
Yeah, yeah, in your endo, mate.
Yeah, okay, fine. well, basically, the story goes that a crisp company in the States decided that they'd embark on a competition for all their punters, and the people had to send in funny-shaped potatoes. Of course, they had plenty of potatoes sent to them, hundreds and thousands of potatoes, and of course, there was probably about a handful of winners, but they were laughing at the end of the day because the potatoes were obviously not returned to people, and they were more likely processed, and they had plenty of free...
Oh, joking, they never did that.
But it's possible, isn't it? I'm not too sure about it, but as I say,
How they make those chipolata potatoes?
Sorry?
Is that how they make those little potato snack that look like little sausages?
Who knows?
Because there's bound to have been a lot of those.
They were the ones that were
laughing
at the end of the day, the manufacturers.
This sounds like Paul Ross, doesn't it? It does sound a little bit like... You're not Paul Ross, are you?
I'm not. No. You're not the first to say that, Nick. Just for the otherwise.
It is Paul Ross.
Well, can I have a word with Carol while she's there, please?
Carol never wants to speak to you again.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's one in Bournemouth. Hello.
Hiya, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Listen, mate, I'm just, I know you hate VHS and I know you hate videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Exactly. I've been looking into DVD, and one thing that's sort of come up, and that is that they seem to have set up the world into 6 different regions.
Yeah, yeah.
To stop you buying videos from the States and stuff.
That's
What's your opinion?
It's just another way in which we're ripped off in this country, because the videos in the States are going to cost half the price that they do here.
Well, the other thing as well is it takes 3 or 4 months to actually get a video onto cinema here while it's been released in the States as a video.
Well, who cares?
Yeah, I know. It's just one of those things.
I mean, we don't have the media that they do in the States, so it's not like we're waiting for the film to come out for and like looking at our watches. It's going to be opening in the States this month, and we're going to have to wait another 3 months here. We're just waiting for it to open, just like they are anywhere in the world. I don't see that makes any difference one way or the other. Okay, blimey, is it that time already? Good grief. That did actually sound like Paul Ross, didn't it?
Yes.
Was it? No. He doesn't call up radio shows, does he?
He calls in sometimes to harass them in the middle of the night.
Okay, actual real live country song title. I should thank you, by the way, for doing this show in Godzuki's absence.
What's
the difference between Kev, who normally does this show, and God is?
What's that?
God doesn't think he's Kev.
True.
So he'll be back tomorrow, and there'll be blood on the walls when he comes back, because there's been so much work for him to do. Okay, actual real-life country song titles. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I know that one.
That's Mac Davis.
How about My Head Hurts, My Feet Stink, and I Don't Love Jesus?